Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast. We are Jeff and Tara Mattson, a husband and wife team who is shrinking the integrity gap in our own lives and helping others do the same. I'm a leadership and organizational development coach, and Tara is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
We believe that if you have a following, you are a leader, and how you lead matters. Whether you are leading in the home, work, or community, we are bringing you biblical, clinical, and relational wisdom to help you in every relationship that matters most to you. None of us do this perfectly, but we are leaning into the reality of our humanity and profound wisdom of grace.
Create us to be mere spectators, watching on the sidelines, inhaling popcorn while he does all the work. Rather, he invited us to be active participants, co-laborers in making the invisible kingdom visible. The act of creating is part of our calling as image bearers, writes Gad. There is no better permission to slip than this, to know and believe with your whole heart that God who made you, the same God who designed blueprints for the galaxies and poured the foundation of the earth, designed you and his likeness on purpose, for a purpose. I'm so excited for this conversation today, because have you ever felt a calling but felt tethered by your role on the home front as a mom? Well, mom to mom, I'm so excited because we have our guest, Ashley Gad. She's a mom of three. She's created a warm and inviting community of other mamas who want to do great things while also being called to shepherd their kids well. As we know, we all have a following, especially on the home front. So I am uniquely excited to connect with Ashley today to talk about all the things leadership in this very practical place of being a mama. So Ashley's a writer, she's a photographer, and the founder of Coffee and Crumbs, a beautiful online space where storytelling and motherhood intersect. When she's not writing or vacuuming Cheerios off the carpet, she loves making friends on the internet, eating cereal for dinner, and rearranging bookshelves. I love eating cereal for dinner. It's my favorite. She's the author of Create Anyways, The Joy of Pursuing Creativity in the Margins of Motherhood. It is so good to have you with us today, Ashley.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, most of us authors and teachers and people who are helping others have a message that's stirred up because of our own stories. Mm-hmm. So why don't you give our audience just a little bit of a glimpse behind the scenes, not Instagram style, but just like raw and real. Let us know a little bit more about what has influenced who you are today and why you're doing what you're doing.
Sure. Yeah. I am really, really passionate about the intersection of motherhood and creativity. And that has sort of been my lane for the last 10 years, kind of the work that I fell into, really driven by the passion for those two things. And so my new book, Create Anyway, deals with that, I don't know, that tension that a lot of mothers experience between their motherhood and their creative pursuits. And I've really kind of spent almost the last decade really sort of creating in the margins of motherhood. That's what my job with Coffee and Crumbs sort of entails, is creating a really beautiful space online for women to pursue their creative gifts as it pertains to motherhood. And yeah, that's sort of the quick intro on me.
I love it. Have you always been a creative? Like when we looked at you at 3, 5, 7 years old, could we see that in your storyline?
Yeah. And it's funny because I feel like the word creative, you know, kind of can like scare some people away. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of women in particular just have a hard time calling themselves creative. But looking back on my childhood, I was definitely always a writer. I would say that writing is something that has been a very consistent thread throughout my entire life. You know, when I was little, I used to keep a diary and just write stories in that every day. And I feel like that sort of progressed and grew into just various other forms of storytelling as I got older. And then when I became a mother, that really kind of just lit a new fire in me for the storytelling. I was really looking for a place to process what motherhood had sort of done to me and done to my identity, and just kind of processing all the changes, right, that come along with becoming a mother. And writing was such a consistent presence in my life as I became a mom. And so I'm really passionate about not just helping other women write and tell their stories, which is something that I'm very, very passionate about, but I'm just really passionate about helping women kind of channel, yeah, like that creative part of themselves that has always existed. You know, for me, it was writing. For others, it's something else. It could be music or baking or cooking or drawing or painting. I mean, there's a plethora of different types of creativity out there, but it is kind of one way that I hold on to who I was before I became a mom.
I think there's two pieces there. It's for the creative. So someone who is wired more that way. There are some moms who really do love laundry and love the structure of motherhood.
Yeah.
I meet a lot of those women and I'm in awe of them. It doesn't mean it doesn't get old for them, but they love cleaning. And you're like, praise God for people like you.
But even the moms who are cleaning, I mean, I'm so quick to tell moms, especially the moms who claim like they're not creative, you know, that moms are creating all the time. Like,
yes, they are.
We're creating meals and we're creating rhythms and rituals and memories and magic and fun. And I mean, moms are creating all day, you know, even in the midst of the laundry and some of the other things. There is a lot of creativity happening in the home itself.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And yet I was kind of speaking to the mom who maybe is wired a little bit more linear and gets scared of creativity. I think I love that your book, you're kind of pushing people to say part of being creative is tapping into almost, I would say, the creator, the God who's the ultimate creative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And being able to explore part of that. And then there's those women who, since they were little, they've been drawing and baking and dancing and so you're asking moms to kind of don't put that aside, but it might look different in motherhood. You said it's in the margins of motherhood.
Yes.
So I'm picturing that piece of paper, right? That old school ruler paper, and there's this white space around it. And so talk a little bit about what margins look like for you over these last 10 years. Like, what time did you have to actually create in the margins?
Yeah. Gosh, it's looked so different in different seasons. You know, like what my margins look like right now are different than when I had a toddler and a newborn. You know, I'm not in that phase anymore. I have a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 4-year-old. So right now, my margins are slightly wider, although not quite as wide as some of my friends who have all of their kids in all-day school. You know, my daughter goes to preschool just 2 mornings a week, and I have a little bit of childcare around that time, but primarily she is home with me a lot. And so I'm still fighting for that time a little bit. But at this juncture, you know, I wake up every morning at 5 a.m. and I can do that because all my kids sleep through the night. And once upon a time, I couldn't do that. So it's sort of been something to just kind of reassess in every season. Like the margins, sometimes they shrink, sometimes they grow. And I think as moms, it's like just really important for us to be adaptable and flexible and nimble, and having realistic expectations in every season has kind of become a mantra for me. You know, I can't have the expectations of a mom whose kids are gone from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. every day because my kids aren't there yet.
Oh, good. Yeah. So live in reality.
We have to live in reality. Also knowing that we're not going to be in this place forever. You know, when I had a toddler and a newborn, that still to this day is probably one of the hardest years of my life. Like the transition to 2 kids was my hardest transition. Mm. I think because they were just both so young and so demanding. And that was a season where I was struggling to get 15 minutes, you know, just trying to work with these little teeny tiny inches every day. And now I'm in a season where I do get a block. I can get 2 hours, 3 hours at a time. And it's wonderful, you know, but I even know that is subject to change, you know, in the next season.
Yeah. I think you're saying a truth that's just important for all moms to hear right now, which is there's seasons.
Yes.
And it's like when you're in the dead of winter in Oregon, and right now I'm feeling the sunshine on my face, but we're in the dead of winter. You think this rain, this is going to last forever. This is horrible, but there's something happening in that season that is beautiful, that it's preparing for the spring and the summer, and it's going to change. And so that's a shift for us mamas to think through, I'm in a season, and the season might mean I don't get as much time for me and my creative or my gifts and talents, but this too shall pass.
Yes, yes.
It's the nature of motherhood. It's mm-hmm. the nature of life. It's the nature of living a wholehearted life. So I love that you're saying that. I just wanted to really point that out because I think it's a reframe. And to realize that those things that were planted in you as a little girl, the story writing, the storytelling, mm-hmm. the writing, that was there on purpose. And God's yeah. got a plan for that. So,
yeah.
so speak to that woman out there who feels like that's gone or feels like it's selfish even to tap mm-hmm. into that when her job right now is to raise all these children till mm-hmm. they're out of the house and she has to put herself on the shelf. Speak to that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is something that so many women struggle with. It's definitely something I really struggled with as a new mom. And I think what has been the biggest shift in me has just been really reframing creativity from this selfish act to this is something that makes me feel alive. You know, when I am taking the time, the space, the effort, the energy to use my creative gifts in the world, that is one way that I am practicing what it means to be a whole flourishing person, right? Like a whole person who is creative, made in the image of a creative God. And when I'm like making that a priority, the abundance that flows out of me pours back into my family. You know, and I, for the longest time, I saw those things as so separate, you know, like I really used to think that every minute I spent on my creative endeavors was like taking something away mm-hmm. from my motherhood. And every minute I spent on my motherhood was taking something away from my creativity. I just lived in this perpetual cycle of subtraction, you know, where like I couldn't make the numbers add up. I couldn't make the math work. Mm-hmm. And God has just really done a work in me over the last decade of showing me the opposite is actually true. You know, that every minute I spend on my motherhood, on my creative gifts, like everything sustains one another. It all pours into each other. My motherhood inspires my creativity and my creativity inspires my motherhood. And more that I just embrace the parallel nature of those two parts of me, the more I can actually allow them to sustain one another, the better off all of us are, right? The better off I am, the better off my kids are, my husband, my marriage, my family life. My family knows that I am the best version of myself when I am allowing my creativity to thrive. And so this is like such a cliche, but it's kind of like that oxygen mask thing that they tell you on the airplane, right?
It's true.
Like part of taking care of ourselves, of putting our oxygen mask on, it like allows us to care for the other people around us. And so creativity truly at the core is one way I care for myself. It's one way that I can be a whole flourishing person. This is like who God made me to be. And when I can step into that in the fullness of that, the overflow spills out on my family. And that's a good thing. And when I can reframe it that way, I don't struggle as much to call it selfish because I know that it's not, you know, it's really serving my family. But it's taken a while to get all the way there in my own thoughts.
So you're giving grace to the mom who's still fleshing that out.
Yes,
and again, we're all at different stages. We also had different stories and different models of moms. And so we're dealing with that piece. We're also in different cultures and church cultures that have different expectations on women and motherhood. Just sitting with lots of different women over the years, I just go, yeah, all of that's playing a role in that voice and how free we feel there or how not free we feel. So have grace for ourselves, right? And your book is meant to help that woman take those steps towards unleashing. And it's called Create Anyway, which I love that title. Just create anyway. Like, let's not try to compartmentalize or squeeze it into a place it doesn't belong. But so talk a little bit about what some woman was to say, I'm going to bless myself. I'm going to buy this for myself for Mother's Day.
Yes,
and
please do.
I want to make this a year of creating anyways. What might they find in some practical steps in helping them make room for creativity in their life?
There's so many good kind of foundational truths that I try to lay out in the book because ultimately, I do think that pursuing creativity in the margins of motherhood, in the busyness, the chaos of motherhood, it's just as much about the mental mindset as it is the logistics, you know? So it's easy for me to tell you, oh, just can you wake up a little bit earlier or can you carve out 15 minutes a day? But ultimately, we have to just kind of keep going back to that foundational truth, right? That our creativity matters. And I think that's honestly like the most essential place that anybody has to start is working through those mental gymnastics that I've just laid out that I've been working through for essentially a decade. Maybe you can do it a lot faster than me, but I really would just encourage any woman who is kind of setting out on wanting to make creativity a priority in her life to just begin with that essential why. Like, why does this matter? What is this going to do for me? What is this going to do for my family? And then kind of progressing to like, what are your creative gifts? What are you passionate about? What do you love to do? What sparks a little fire in your heart? What makes you feel alive when you're doing it? And just start there, you know, figure that out for yourself. Have that expectation management meeting of what is realistic in this season and just start. But I think it really all begins with that correct reframe and that mindset.
Mm. So you're really just trying to say, okay, who are you? What has God planted in you? The gifts that you have. And let's match that up with the reality of where you're at, your stage of life, and see if you can take some steps towards that. You know, I literally just this morning was talking with a friend of mine and was telling her how disappointed I was because I worked so hard literally the last 3 years to try to get myself to have more margin for some creative things. I've got another book in me that I need to write. Not need to, I want to write.
Yeah.
And some other creative places that I want to go and building a garden and some more margin for cooking. Those are all things that I put on the burner, back burner as a mom. And I've got teenage girls and I'm like, oh gosh, got to get this done before they're launched. Or I'll just be the grandma who cooks really great meals. But there is a truth that was given to me. I am going somewhere here, Ashley.
That's okay. I'm along for the ride.
There was a truth that was given to me when I had two babies. They were 21 months apart. It sounds like you were in a very similar early stage where you're like, these little ones take up a lot of my energy and time. Yes. I love them, but I have no time for anything. And I remember two wisdom pieces that I still use today when they're 16 and 14. Lower your expectation and expand your timeline versus the all or nothing thinking is it will never happen or I just need to, you know, that's dead to me, you know, and it's this whole be realistic and expand your timeline. And I can look back in motherhood and go, I had never imagined that that would have happened while my girls were in the house and they got to be a part of it. Yeah. The mentorship, them seeing the balance of real life where I'm mothering them and doing these things that God has called me to has helped them be a different kind of little young women. Mm-hmm. So speak to that. Like, as you think about how this isn't an either or, it's a both and. Mm-hmm. And we adjust our expectations, we expand our timelines.
Yeah.
And what are some of the fruits that you're seeing in these last 10 years with your own kids as they get to create alongside you or watch you create?
Yeah, I love that. And I love the connection that you've just made between your creativity and your daughter's creativity. And ultimately, I mean, that is a really convicting argument, right? For creating in front of our kids, because part of our job as mothers is to model. It's to model behavior. It's to model stewardship. And every time I'm creating something in front of my children, I love to believe that I'm modeling what it looks like to steward a creative talent or a creative gift that the Lord has given me. And now here I am, and I'm going to go use it in the world. And sometimes I'm just using it in the home. Sometimes I'm just using it for myself, but they're watching me. They're paying attention to that. They see how much life it gives me, you know, to make space for this. And I do think it's contagious. You know, when we are sitting at the dining room table, you know, that's often where me and my kids are just all kind of working on our own projects. So on any given day, you will often find my dining room table is pretty much a consistent mess 365 days a year because that is where we make stuff. And so my daughter will be sitting there coloring, scribbling blobs on a piece of paper, and my 8-year-old will be making a little like graphic novel comic book thing, and my 10-year-old is like making origami, and I'm sitting there at the table too, and I'm writing or I'm editing pictures or doing something else creative. And we're all just kind of there feeding off of each other's energy. And creativity is just such a generative force in the world. You know, like the more that you create, the more you want to create. And the more that you're around creative people, the more you want to be around creative people. It's just also contagious and generative in that way. And I think for me and my husband, you know, creativity is a value we just really want to have in our home. And if I were to, again, hinder that for myself, that would only be impacting my own children's love and appreciation for art and creativity. And so I do. I think it's so important to model that. Like, I don't want my kids to only see me doing dishes and vacuuming, and that's all I teach them how to do to be an adult in the world. You know, it's like, well, no, this is, here are some other parts of me that I want you to see. Not to mention the fact that I really deeply want my children to know who I am. You know, not just I'm their mom and I am their mom. And that's a really key role and part of our relationship. But I want them to know me as a person separate from just being their mom. And I think it's really special when we can actually like invite our children to see that part of us.
Well said, Ashley. I do. I think it's beautiful. It's part of, right, the Jesus model of doing it with his disciples. So it doesn't have to be at 5 a.m. when your kids are sleeping. I'm hearing you doing it at the table while everybody's partnering together, doing their own little thing, but you're in the same room together. I love that. And I think that just clicked for a mom to go, oh, instead of saying to my daughter, go color, like, go color, and then I'll do some coloring on the side next to you, or I'll work on my own little project.
Or well, they always tell you, you know, and I sometimes would roll my eyes at this advice, but the whole like sleep when the baby sleeps. And I remember as a new mom just being constantly perturbed by that, because when the baby slept, that was when I wanted to do 800 other things.
That's exactly right.
But I have kind of adopted a little bit of a create when the kids create philosophy, you know, because often it can be really tempting to like plant all my kids at the table with a ton of art or crafts or creative little projects, and then I go do the dishes, you know. But I'm trying to be better about just embracing that as like, this is family art time and we're just all going to do it together. There's no better place for me to be creating than right here with my kids.
Well said. And it makes me take it to the next step for, let's just kind of talk with these mamas a little more about this. Like, so often moms will wait to do the dishes and the laundry when their kids are out of the house. And then the house is magically all put together when they get home. And I'm like, your kids need to see what real life looks like and how much time it takes. Yeah. So I love this, like, both and. Like, what if we just said, hey, let's all work on dishes together so that we have more time to create together.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's a family team effort versus it's all on mom. Mom's going to do dishes and wake up at 5 a.m. to do her stuff while she caters to you children all day long.
Well, and what is that? I know, and I think so much, especially at my kids' ages, you know, it's a little bit different when they're so little, but my kids are 10, 8, and 4, and they are really watching me all the time, you know, and what I'm starting to think a lot about, like, what messages I'm sending them when, I prioritize their creativity and their art, but when they're doing that, I'm doing chores. I mean, that's not what I really want to model for my kids. You know, I want to model that, like you're saying, chores are on everyone, and my kids do have a fair amount of chores, and creativity is something we all want to foster with one another, and that's important too.
It's beautiful. So you said you and your husband value creativity as kind of just an overarching theme for your family. Talk about why that is, and inspire maybe some other families to adopt that value, because I think that's really beautiful and I don't want to assume I know why. So tell us.
Yeah. I mean, I think, ever since our kids were really little, I have really encouraged independent play. That's kind of been just a big thing for us in this house. And it kind of started when my first, my oldest son gave up, he dropped his nap. Basically on his third birthday, he was like, and I'm done sleeping in the middle of the day now. And it was crushing, right? To a mom. Like, I was so used to having that break in the middle of the day. And all of a sudden it was taken away from me. I didn't have that anymore. And so part of it was my own selfishness. I was really desperate to cling on to that time for myself. And so I very quickly replaced nap time with what we called quiet time or independent playtime. And instead of putting my son down for a nap every day, I would put him in his room with a whole bunch of toys that we didn't have out all of the time. So there was a little bit of a novelty to them. And I would turn on music and I would basically leave him alone in his room. We had one of those like baby gates that go on the door, you know? So we would joke like we were putting Everett is my son's name. Like we were putting Everett in baby jail every day. But I would just like put him in his room. You know, I could see him right over the gate, but he couldn't get out. I was kind of trapping him in his room. That sounds weird as I'm saying it. I'm tracking though.
Okay. We don't think, no one's I'm reporting like, to child.
Please don't judge me. Like everyone was safe. I could see in the room at all times. He was totally supervised.
You're trying to justify it all. It's good, people. As a clinician, yeah. She's okay.
Okay. But I would essentially like place my son in his room every day by himself. And we started really low, like 10, 15 minutes a day. And then I would slowly would just kind of add on to that every week. I would up it to 20 minutes and then 30 and then 45 minutes. And eventually I grew to having my son like in his room for essentially almost an hour a day, every day to just play by himself. And that became a rhythm and a structure for us that just really, really worked for our days. And what I loved most about it is that I really, really saw my son's creativity come to life in that hour of just being alone in his room with nothing but his toys, his curiosity, and his imagination. And I just could watch all of those things kind of run wild. And it was so inspiring to me to watch the little worlds he would create for himself, you know, just in his room alone playing. And it really inspired me. It inspired my own imagination and my own just love and affection for the creative process. And so I think ever since then, we've just really valued this idea of our children like being curious and using their imaginations. And I feel like especially in these days where, you know, screens are everywhere and we have screens in our house, our kids love to play video games. I am not one of those moms that like, we don't allow that. We have it in our life, but we really value a lot of time away from that stuff to foster a healthy curiosity and a healthy imagination. I'm constantly just kicking my kids outside, which is a gift because we live in California and we can do that almost all year round. Just go outside, go imagine, go make up a world for yourself outside. And I just think our kids are just so much better for it. You know, I love watching their imaginations run wild.
I love that, Ashley. And my brain is going all over the place in terms of just connecting to healthy brains, healthy relationships. Part of what has happened in the current parenting paradigm because of the digital age is our children haven't learned to know what to do with being bored. And let me fast forward. I'm going to freak out some parents real quick, but take a deep breath with me. But this is where, as in teen years and in adulthood, people don't know what to do with that feeling of being bored, and we get ourselves in all kinds of trouble. We numb out in funky ways. And so you have been fostering this with your children. And so as moms are listening to go, this is never too late to start thinking about what do we do with nothing? And we're tapping into the beginning of who our God is, who created a whole world out of nothing. And there is a part of us that can learn how to reimagine things. It's a problem-solving development piece in their brains. It also creates grit because there's obstacles in life and suffering and hard things. We have to reimagine what life can be when we hit an area where we can't solve that problem. And so all of what you're doing in these creative spaces is developing a whole healthy brain for these children. So it's definitely producing some really fun inventions and, you know, creativity. Yeah. But you're developing whole children in a way that I think a lot of parents don't think about. So Kudos to
I
you,
love
Ashley.
That. And I, well, thank you. Thanks. You know, we're just doing the best we can. Parenting is really hard. Parenting is really, really hard. But I love what you said about boredom. And I, gosh, it's so interesting. I mean, I've been, you know, a creative for as long as I can remember. And I think that boredom is such an essential part of the creative process because that's often, it's such a powerful jumping off point. Mm. And I think boredom, you know, it gets a really bad rap, you know, like we don't want to feel bored. We equate that with such a negative feeling. And yet boredom is often what propels us forward into something new. And so, yeah, I appreciate boredom and I appreciate when my kids are bored because I know they're right on the cusp of thinking of something, you know, and I always encourage them to just like sit in that place. Like if you're bored, you know, you just got to figure it out, you know.
That's so good. And honestly, we need to all go say that, moms, to our children.
Yeah.
Go for it. I say something to my girls. I don't do it anymore. They're teens. But I used to say, only boring people get bored. You're not boring. Like,
yeah,
you're going to figure this out. And it was so fun. Like you said, to see what they would come up with. But they need that little extra push because as moms, mm-hmm. it's easy to fix that by saying, yeah. okay, go watch a show. And again, nothing wrong yeah, with the totally. Digital stuff, but we've gone too much to that. Mm-hmm. And getting them into an activity where their schedules are maxed and there's not room for creativity.
Yeah. You would be amazed if your kid is complaining that they're bored and you just ignore that for 20 minutes. You would be amazed at what they come up with 20 minutes later. I mean, my boys will just be doing all kinds of weird things that I'm like, oh, they were really bored 20 minutes ago. And now they're, you know, building some kind of crazy fort. Or a couple of years ago, I remember, I'm pretty sure this stemmed from a moment of boredom. I had sent the kids outside, which is normally what I do when they tell me that they're bored. I say, go outside. You can't be bored outside. There's a zillion possibilities out there. And the next thing I knew, they were calling it a squirrel trap, which definitely concerned me when they first came inside and told me that. And then what I realized they had actually made was like a feeding trough for squirrels. They had built it out of all these just random supplies we had in the backyard. And they had filled up a bowl with peanut butter and they had built these little, like a little staircase, and they had hung a basket from the tree with like a bungee cord, and they had created a feeding trough for the squirrels in our yard. And I'm telling you, that's what kids do when they're bored. I mean, it was kind of weird and mm-hmm. I didn't want them touching the squirrels, but I was like, cool. That kept you entertained for about an hour. So we'll call it a win.
I love it. It's also insight to who God created them to be and the mm-hmm. the things that we'll see that happen in their lives as adults. So as moms, these things that are stirring in us. So I want to read what you wrote on the back of your book, and then you can tell moms, where did I get your resources? So mm-hmm. motherhood and creativity can coexist. You have creative dreams swirling in your heart, but pursuing them while changing diapers and managing the carpool schedule feels impossible. You have no time, no space. You can mother or you can create, but you can't certainly do both, right? But if you could pursue your God-given creative gifts alongside motherhood for the enrichment of both experiences, what if you stopped viewing creating as a selfish act and started to see it as an essential to your own flourishing as a mother? It's a beautiful summary to what you've been trying to get across with these mamas. So for those that are ready to tap into some of those God-given gifts that they have, that they've set on the shelf, talk about where they can get your resources and learn more from you, Ashley.
Sure. Well, Create Anyway is my new book, and it is available pretty much wherever books are sold. You can find it on Amazon or at Target, Barnes & Noble. A lot of the Christian bookstores are carrying it. You can connect with me on my website, ashleygad.com, or I'm over on Instagram at ashleygad. And I think those are the main highlights of where I am.
Wonderful. We'll have all that in the show notes if you are carpooling right now and can't get to that. So you can go back and check that out. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you for creating Anyways and giving
thank
us
you.
This resource and this encouragement. I know this is going to be a gift to so many moms. And if you are maybe a son or a daughter of a mom, or you want to resource an aunt or a cousin, this is a great Mother's Day gift if you wanted to bless somebody as well. So pick this up. And if you are interested at all in learning more about Living Wholehearted and the resources, maybe you're dealing with the shame and that mom guilt and you would love a coach to help come alongside, or a counselor, or you want to pick up some of our other resources in our group coaching, check out livingwholehearted.com and join us for our monthly newsletters and all the other resources we're providing for you. And until then, mamas, be the leader that you would follow. Give something to your kiddos so they can see all of who you are, not just that you vacuum.
This podcast is powered by Living Wholehearted, Courageous Girls, and the Christian Parenting Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us in this critical movement of shrinking our integrity gaps between what we preach and live.